Texas Podcast Massacre contains spoilers and adult language. For more horror, visit us at our website at texaspodcastmassacre.com.
Welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, coming to you from Houston, Texas. I'm your host, Mitch, and with me, as always, is my fellow grabber, Nate.
That arm is mint.
That arm is mint, for sure. And if, I don't even know where I was going with that.
I just destroyed you. You're welcome.
Welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, where each week we take a look at a different horror movie and debate a horror-related topic with our unsuspecting victim, who's usually not someone we would consider a horror fan. We haven't seen Lisa in a couple weeks now. She normally would be here. I don't know.
They found a black balloon at the scene. Not sure what happened. Yeah,
not a lot of people buying black balloons. I mean, we don't have a huge goth community up here where we live. So I'm hoping we can narrow it down, but we'll see.
Why is Lisa walking home by herself from middle school is the real question. Why is that?
I don't know. Let her live her life, Nate.
How long is she living it now?
T's and P's,
Lisa.
Yeah, Jesus. But to fill in, we have brought in a brand new unsuspecting victim, Ben. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Y'all finally got me.
We finally,
got you,
Ben. Yeah. For listeners out there, Ben is our white whale in terms of unsuspecting victims. We've been barking up this tree for quite some time, and it only took Ethan Hawke in a really creepy ass mask to.
Ben was walking home from school, but in large groups or taking the bus, and always had his family around. But we finally got him on the podcast.
And I'm probably going to disappoint everyone.
But we finally got him.
That's all right, Nate. Ben, we disappoint folks weekly, so you'll be great. You're fit right
it's
in.
It's like, you know what? I'm disappointed, but like it feels a little different. Yeah. All right. I can get used to that a little bit.
Yeah. Good. So Lisa will be back another week, but for now it's just the boys tonight. So we're gonna talk through this because this is week two of Summer Stab, where we are watching movies that have even the faintest connections to wrestling. And we're gonna talk about how this one is mildly connected. Maybe a little bit more mildly, I would say, but you know, it's no Ready to Rumble, but certainly
what
creepy.
What is?
That's fair. With that said, like, we got to get into our debate question for the week.
Bid our father, the Sea King, rise from the depths full foul in his fury. Black waves teeming with salt foam. To smother this young mouth with pungent slime.
Now, Ben, I know you're a Lighthouse fan, so we want to make sure we brought the Lighthouse drop. We have we have almost moved exclusively to Willem Dafoe and Nicolas Cage drops for all the important parts of our show.
Fan's a pretty strong term, but I did watch the movie and did, I guess, take something away from it.
Was it the very detailed shark genitalia?
So, I mean, y'all kind of warned me of that, I guess, ahead of watching it, so I kind of knew it was coming. That said, it wasn't any less jarring having been warned. But
warn's not the word I think I would describe. We were hyping it.
But the thing is, it could go the other direction. You're like, I've seen better. I've seen better shark genitalia. It's like, what is happening?
I mean, had a difficult time explaining what the movie was about. I mean, you know, at its core, it's kind of easy to explain, but like what the takeaway is to like Shannon. And I don't know. I was at a loss for words. It was good for what it was, but I just don't know what it was.
Yeah. That's the way to describe that.
It was the story of Proteus. That's all you got to say. Done.
Yeah, that.
except like directed by the Deep from The Boys, like.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Proteus Deep. That's a catchy ring to it, actually.
All right. So look, I have a debate question for this movie. Now, this mask, admittedly, very creepy and a little bit more intricate than what I think the trailer at least let us believe, or at least the poster,
Good.
There's
it's good.
Multiple components. Yeah. Now, Nate, you know that I'm a big fan of Bray Wyatt, The Fiend. I think our listeners out there know that. And the same team that designed this mask and the Black Phone designed The Fiend's mask for WWE. So this was Tom Savini's group. It was, you know, the actual different designers, but same designers, too, that worked with Tom Savini for it. But, you know, they clearly took... obviously some inspiration from like comic book Joker, from your favorite like creepy big smile things, but also from The Fiend. And I was just thinking about just what a great...
This is the closest you're going to get to The Fiend at this point.
No, that's fair. He's no longer in anything. But my question to you is this. Is this, in fact, the creepiest mask? I want to talk about... not iconic. It's going to be hard. It's very... if I said, what's the most iconic horror mask, right? It's Michael Myers. Done. There's no debate.
No, Michael Myers, Jason... is probably, those are probably top two. Yeah, Jason's up there. Hockey mask.
That's fair. But I want to know what is actually the creepiest mask? It doesn't have to be, like in this case, right? It doesn't have to be from a horror movie. Like, if you wanted to go with The Fiend, you could. I won't be, surprisingly. I'll keep that. But what to you is the creepiest, scariest mask? And where does this rank among that? So, Ben, I just because you're our unsuspecting victim, and I feel like putting you on the spot, where would you go with this?
So we're purely talking creepiest mask.
Yeah.
Right. That's tough. I mean, I generally would probably lean towards Leatherface, which maybe sounds cliche, but if we look at it, really what that mask is, it's a human face. So that's pretty creepy in and of itself, I feel. Mm-hmm. Another one, I don't remember what movie this is from. You'll have to help me on this, but it was like a smiley mask, but it was just like human flesh. And it was like the eyes were just kind of like carved out of a single piece of flesh. Is that ringing any bells?
Okay, say it again. Like what?
Is this real life or in a movie?
It's in a movie. Yeah.
Okay.
I hope it was just a movie.
All right.
You did spend a lot of time in San Antonio. We had to ask.
There it is. Okay. It was a movie called Smiley, 2012.
Smiley and
20. Yes.
I'm looking at
it. Yeah. Look that up.
Yeah, I'm out on that. That was one I was out on.
Nate,
when it came out, I was like, nah, hard pass on that.
So that's what breaks Nate then, huh?
Yeah,
that breaks. But you know, if the movie Smiley had gotten good reviews, spoiler alert, it did not get good reviews.
No,
it's a 3.4 on IMDb. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm not even gonna wade through that garbage. We already went through that on Truth or Dare, and now in the trailer. Or in the movie theater for this movie, there was another smile horror movie coming out. I think it's just called Smile. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend if you want to get creeped out. If you're creeped out by smiles like I am, that's a trailer for sure. So, yeah. Anyway, okay. So the smiley mask. All right. Yeah. Well,
I mean, this is about horrifying. It. Look at it.
Yeah. I mean, Leatherface is a solid mask too, as well. But yeah, Smiley's coming
worse.
Out strong, Ben.
Smiley is worse.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on your definition of creepy, right? For me, it's the psychological aspect of like this is made from someone's face, or I guess in the smiley mask, someone's skin.
Nate, what about you? Where are you thinking?
2005, Son of the Mask. First thought.
God damn it.
suck it. That movie was bad. I saw that movie. I don't know why I didn't watch Smiley if I already seen Son of the Mask, but here we are.
That had Alan Cumming in it. That's very disappointing.
Yeah. It was a Jamie Kennedy vehicle. I remember that being terrible. But anyway, second place is a tie for me. So there's two versions of a similar-ish mask from two entirely different movies. But I'm going to go with the baby face mascot mask. That the king cake baby mask.
You motherfucker, that was mine.
From Happy Death Day.
God damn it, and I need to stop letting you go before me.
And the creepier dystopian future movie equivalent of the baby mask in Terry Gilliam's Brazil. So they're similar-ish masks, different phases of it. One's the cartoony, one's the more realistically gross. Both terrible baby face masks.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I mean,
not good at all.
Ben, are you familiar with the king cake baby from the appellate? Yeah, okay. So for those of you that aren't NBA fans or aren't just looking up creepy mascots in your general day life, the New Orleans Pelicans have a king cake baby mascot. I don't honestly know that it's an official mascot.
No, it's official. It's official. It's absolutely official. Yes.
God, it would have been better if it wasn't. Like, the team should have, it should be like unofficially official. Like, the team never acknowledges it, but it's just always there at the games. And you just always are wondering, like, is that a dude that comes here like this, or is that like a thing here?
It kind of reminds me of when you see like Halloween photos from like the late 19th century, and it's just horrifying. But it exists today, and it probably shouldn't, because, yeah, that's. Looking at it now, it's not great.
It's not great. Yeah. So anyway, I stole yours.
That's unfortunate. Man, I don't. I guess the only other one I can think of is probably like the main mask from like the mask from The Strangers. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go with that largely because, A, because you stole mine, but also because, I mean, from a just a pure simplicity perspective, there's not much to them, but God, those are fucking menacing, right? Like,
are you talking about the doll masks or like just the
like the burlap sack?
Kind of all three of them. If I had to pick one, I'd probably go with the burlap sack scarecrow one. But I mean, they're all pretty rough, right?
Yeah.
I think it's just, it's the vacant eyes. Like, you never see anyone's eyes in the movie except for like, I think what one point. Yeah. Like the baby doll mask is like, you never see that girl's eyes at any point in this movie. And it's a lot creepier than like the Purge mask or any of the others, but
I feel like the Stranger's mask had to crawl so that Smiley could run. Like, I feel like that that's the it progressed up until that point, and now here we are.
Now I'm really surprised that you didn't go with Tourist Trap, Nate.
Yeah, I know. I thought it instantaneously, but I figured I could, you know.
Now, Ben, have
Tourist
you ever...
Tourist Trap solid. That's actually a very solid mask.
I mean, we did, in fact, buy a Tourist Trap mask for unsuspecting victim David.
Pretty great.
It was. I had a good time. Have you seen that movie, Ben?
I have not. Okay.
You're not missing a whole lot.
You know what it reminds me of, actually? And I'm going to amend my original answer. Do y'all remember Salute Your Shorts?
Yes.
Back on Nickelodeon.
Yes.
Zeke the Plumber. Zeke the Plumber is my answer.
What? I've not thought of that in a long time.
What?
Look it up.
I'm looking up now. The first thing from Blade Disgusting was the most traumatic episode of Salute Your Shorts. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's got that melty face shit. Oh, man.
I'm not a fan of melty either.
Yeah, it's very Tourist Trap-esque, honestly. That is right on the money there.
It's very Tourist Trap, actually. This is actually in the same league. Sounds like you'd be a huge Tourist Trap fan. And who isn't? Because it's such a good movie.
Oh, my God. Well, look, we don't normally pick winners, but Ben, I think, knocking out of the park, came prepared.
I feel like Smiley is the winner.
Smiley was good, yeah.
Smiley's good, because I had blocked that out of my mind.
King Cake Baby was a good non-horror One, but yeah, Smiley, yeah, you really don't like smiles. It's like kids chewing on forks and smiles. If a kid is smiling while chewing on a fork, I mean, Nate's...
Oh my God, that's over.
Nate's setting himself and the house on fire. Like, he's taking it all out.
Sounds like it'd be worth it.
Oh my God. Well, look, let us know what you think is the creepiest mask. Let's TX Pod Masker on Twitter, Texas Podcast Masker on all the socials, TexasPodcastMasker@gmail.com. You can also give us a call at some number that I did not
346 246 3143. That's 346-246-3143. Now, before we get into the next segment, we got an email. And normally I don't read it. The date comes in, but this is an interesting.
Wait, one. We got an email?
Yeah, of course. So
nice.
It's happening.
I didn't.
So
let's go.
This is from a fan of the show, Benji. He goes, "Hey, what's up, Benji? Hey, hi guys and gal. I'm holding out hope for a 3-peat 5-star review request." That's Mitch will murder you or chase you around with the smiley mask if you do that. So probably not allowed. But leaving a review on a Bucky's bathroom stall is really hard right now. So thank you for letting us know that.
Fantastic. Okay. All right.
So in a replacement instead of a 5-star review, he said, "Hey, I'll give you some, I'll give Nate some theme month suggestions. Are you ready for some theme months?" Now, Japanuary already did, but that's a solid classic. This is one of the greatest things I've ever heard. April. That's right.
Oh,
ape-related horror. A month of ape-related horror movies.
What? I mean, what do you got? You've got Congo, and then what?
King Kong.
All right. Go on.
you get to hear Amy sign language. Come on.
Do we revisit Monkey Shines for that one if we're gonna do it? Like,
no, I'm okay. I'm okay on that. Thanks. hard pass. I can't think of any other ones. There's more. Yeah. There's more, right? Yeah. There's multiple King Kong movies too. There's Son of Kong, there's Godzilla vs. King Kong. No. You know, I know those ones.
For sure.
We have to look for more. Oh, Mark Wahlberg's Planet of the Apes. For sure in there.
Oh yeah, it's a Tim Burton film, so it qualifies.
Rampage with The Rock. Oh God, that could be a summer stab movie. All the wrestling.
That's
wrestling
fair.
In that.
That's fair.
So we got enough. We got just enough. But when I saw April with the hyphen in the word ape, that made me happy. So thank you for that, Dario Argento for August. It's all Dario Argento movies.
Why would you want me to try to say that for four or five weeks straight?
And David,
I would never say it correctly.
David Cronenberg.
I like that one the best.
That's the winner. Wow.
Pretty
right.
Great. So, yeah, anyway, had to talk about that. And he said, thanks to the annual summer stab, we will never see I'm gonna say Eli Roth.
We're not dedicating a month to Eli Roth, regardless. in any shape or form.
If we did, we would watch Cabin Fever, and then we would watch Cabin Fever again, like the shot for shot remake that he also produced after he directed the first one.
Yeah,
those would be the first two movies of that.
David Cronenberg is.
Cronenberg.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. We would never say, I guarantee you, we would never say it the same way. Yep. At any point,
I'll take over the narration of the podcast. Oh,
okay. 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 Like. Okay. Nate. Dario Argento is something else. These are. I mean, I'm assuming that you were you in the Bucky's bathroom stall wall and just came up with these, like, I wonder if these were actually written on the stall already and they were wiping them off.
They spike the beaver nuggets? Like, what's happening in this?
Admittedly, while we love Bucky's, yeah, you're right. You're never going to leave a 5-star review on those walls. They keep them too clean. You're going to have to go down to, like, the dilapidated Shell station across the street. You know, that's mostly run by cockroaches. That one you could probably leave a 5-star review, and you know, we might count it. Yeah, send the picture of just the wall, not anything else, please.
Go to your nearest Flying J rest stop that has the outside detached bathroom. Let us know if there's any 5-star reviews there.
And hey, if you're not from Texas, if you're somewhere in the kind of northeast, a Wawa, while subpar to a Buc-ee's, is fine. We'll accept Fair. Either.
I don't even know if there's an Oregon equivalent. I have to learn this still.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what y'all do in Oregon. I assume that y'all got rid of gas stations.
Well, we actually in Oregon, you can't even pump your own gas. You have to have an attendant do it.
Yeah, that's weird.
You went the opposite direction.
Someone yelled at me. I was on a road trip and someone yelled at me about that. And I was very confused because that's just, it's so weird. It's such a weird concept to me. Yeah, I just assumed y'all just like ride Wendigos around from place to place, but
some people windsurf down rivers.
There's that, I guess. All right,
well, way to get around.
If you want to join Nate for his Green Inferno trip through Portland, just let us know. With that said, we're gonna get into this week's movie of the week, The Black Phone.
I'll be home in the morning.
Where are you going?
I'm staying over at Susie's tonight.
What's new? The flyer.
The papers call him the grabber.
I wish you wouldn't call him that.
You don't actually believe that story, do you? Because he can't hear you, and he doesn't really take kids that safe.
Oh! You goof. Well, isn't that just peachy keen?
You need some help?
You see that? Yeah. Would you hand me my hat? Yes, sir. I am a part-time magician.
Are those black balloons in there?
Would you like to see a magic trick?
I have an announcement to make. One of our students, Finney Blake, was abducted.
What if I could help the police find Finney?
Doesn't work. Not since I was a kid.
I'll scream. I'll scratch your face.
This face?
Daddy, I had a dream about it.
What happened in your dream?
He was taken.
By a man with black balloons?
Yes.
We never released those details.
Hello?
Don't hang up.
Who are you?
You know all our names.
You're getting out of here.
Please, please let the dreams be real.
See the wall in front of you? I tore a long cable loose from down there.
There's a combination lock on the inside of the storm door.
What's the combination?
I carved it in the wall.
Hang up the phone!
The tree, the door, the gate. I'd never seen it before except in my dream.
You don't have much time.
You're gonna use a weapon. You raise the phone, step back, and swing.
Look what you made me do.
Please hurry.
You remember what I told you?
There's someday I have to stand up for myself.
Someday is today, Finn.
Right, the Black Phone and the what may be the longest trailer could have happened. Ran a little late tonight, didn't get to chop it down. But we're just gonna, we're gonna roll with it. You've practically seen the movie at this point if you sat through that. Let me ask Ben. So we have a tradition here as our unsuspecting victim. You know, we want you to sort of pitch. How do you think the pitch meeting for this went? What is like the quick elevator pitch for this movie? So you're going through, you're trying to get someone to green light this. You're Joey Hill here or whatever. How are you pitching this movie? What's the elevator pitch?
Mm. Let me think about that for a minute.
Okay. Because there's a lot going on. And then
just fake cocaine before his movie pitch to the producer.
Yes. Yeah. Make sure. Yeah. Yeah. Get your fake bump and then, you know.
Hey, guys. So.
I think there's a couple angles, right, of what would make this appealing. One is that it seems like today there's a lot of folks interested in, I don't want to say period pieces because people probably think of like, you know, 17th century as a period piece, but movies kind of set in the past, specifically 70s and 80s, a lot of nostalgia there. So, you know, kind of having it in that specific environment would probably pull in a lot of people, certainly pulled me in. But tying in just a number of different elements that I guess affect and freak people out in a number of different ways, right? You've got child abduction, which is inherently horrifying and terrible. You've got the supernatural elements and stuff like that. Kind of just tying it all together, making it really unsettling in more ways than one.
Mm-hmm. You had me at kids getting abducted.
Yes, you did.
Exactly. you had me there. I didn't even listen to the rest of it. You had me at hello. Or sorry, goodbye for the children.
So that's a life lesson for everyone. Know who you're pitching to, because that's really the key. I mean, this movie in a nutshell is, hey, what if we take all the stuff you love from Stephen King movies and then we just put Ethan Hawke in like multiple creepy masks and he abducts kids. How y'all feeling about that? And they just got money thrown at him.
It worked.
Yeah.
Although I will say this, this movie seems like an anti-nostalgia movie. Like, remember the good old days when people were getting hit with stuff in their own kitchens? Yeah. Good times. Right. Remember when people were getting beat to a pulp and everyone was like loving it? And these kids are like 12. Yeah. That's awesome. Good times, guys.
Yeah. Great music, though.
Fantastic. A
couple good songs. I'll get into it.
Tell us about this. Yep.
So the Black Phone came out last year at Fantastic Fest, which we did not go to in person. Going this year though, excited, but it didn't release until June of this year, so it was in the last month. I would say well at the box office. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, Nope is coming out very shortly, which I'm very excited about, so that might be, you know, a contender for this movie. But budget, you know, up to $18 million box office first month. So it's probably about done, but $115 million.
Oh, nice.
So there you go. So that's actually like a solid, you know, well done horror movie, which makes sense because the director of this movie is Scott Derrickson. You might remember Scott Derrickson from previous episode Sinister, which also was an incredibly good horror movie. Although I think it's Sinister was a little better, with Ethan Hawke as well. So, you know, doing that, he is, you know, unfortunately did Doctor Strange. So he went to Marvel, came back, did something good. So I guess forgiven, and, you know, did The Exorcism of Emily Rose, the absolutely abysmal The Day the Earth Stood Still remake with Keanu Reeves. It's a mixed bag. Executive produced Mitch's favorite movie of the year, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, and the Snowpiercer TV series. Mm. So there you go. In terms of things that are getting worked, he's got a movie called Two Eyes Staring, which is a horror tale centered on the friendship between a young girl and the ghost of her mother's twin. So is that a movie in this universe? Sounds close. So we'll see if we're in the Black Phone cinematic universe or not. He's got another movie coming out called When Gravity Fails, which is a sci-fi thriller. And he has an untitled Labyrinth project. They're bringing back the Labyrinth for some reason. So
David Bowie
Labyrinth.
No.
No one asked for that. No one wants that.
Doesn't matter. It's happening. It's happening. Anyway, so there's that. So it started on a good point and then it went downhill. The main actor in this movie is Mason Thames, who you might remember from What is that?
That's the main actor. No, it's not the main
actor. He's the main character in the film. Yeah, main character.
The grabber. Ethan Hawke is the main guy.
No.
He's the main protagonist.
Who's getting billing on the poster? Not whoever this kid is. Let's be real.
He's top billed in the cast.
Okay. Go ahead, Nate.
That's what it says here. Go. That's what it says.
Okay. Well, whatever you say.
That's what you go back and watch the credits of the movie. Anyway, he's in not very much. So there's that. You might have remembered him from last year, two episodes as young Walker in the new Walker Texas Ranger series that features the dude from.
I'm sorry, there was a new Walker Texas Ranger series.
Yeah, it features the dude who is from Supernatural. So there you go. If you want to see
Soldier Boy or
no, the other one.
No, the other one. Mm-hmm. The one who's in Gilmore Girls. The the other main actress, higher build than Ethan Hawke, is Madeline McGraw, who has dreams. Now, unlike her brother in the movie, she is in a lot of stuff. She's Gwen in this film. She was young Katie in Mitchell's Versus the Machines, which is surprisingly a good kids movie. She was young Hope in Ant-Man and Wasp. She was the voice of Bonnie in Toy Story 4. Hmm. She was Maddie McGear in Cars 3. And she was the little girl in American Sniper.
Random.
All right.
She was 6 years old. And she was an American Sniper. So she's been quite a few movies. In terms of things coming up for her, she's going to be in a horror movie called The Harbinger. When a family moves their troubled daughter to a small town and their neighbors start mysteriously dying, they fear something evil has fallen them. Sounds very generic, but she's in it. So there's that. Oh, and I forgot to mention, she was in Pacific Rim Uprising. So there you go.
That's your feel good movie of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Third build person in the movie, Ethan Hawke. You might remember him from previous episode, The Northman, or previous episode, Sinister. He was in The Northman and Black Phone this year, so pretty solid run so far. We never did The Purge, I guess, so it's not previous episode Purge, but.
I'm surprised we haven't done the original Purge.
I know, me too. We did. We always start with the sequel.
Yeah,
we've done at least three.
It's not the original. So, yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, we have a tradition of never starting with the original for any franchise.
Always. We just did Predator. We broke this. Oh no, we did the Predator sequel first.
Yeah, yeah. So yep.
We've never started with the original. I don't think it's ever happened. Not once. It just works out nicely that way. Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery. You might see Ethan Hawke in later this year. So there's that. He's in like a million things coming up. He's in a TV series just called The Whites. It's in pre-production.
What's that about, what that
is. I don't know. Oh, yeah. And he was also apparently in Moon Knight, whatever that is. So.
Another MCU, you know.
Yeah.
Sure, Nate has it on his watch list.
It's great. It's my favorite show.
Flex, yeah.
It's favorite show. I'm more of a Moon Day fan, but it's fine. The tagline for this one is never talk to strangers. Solid.
Never talk to magicians, I think, as more the.
Never go near vans, you don't.
Yeah.
That's really the.
It's a great starting point.
You can talk to a stranger from 30 feet away when you're with a group of friends. You know, that might not be the worst thing in the world. Don't talk to a stranger near a van. It's the van that's the problem.
Get away
from vans.
Magicians are great when you're in like Vegas, when you're, you know, at a club, when you're with friends, you know, and you're purposefully going with a group. You never, it's like clowns and magicians. You never want to run up on one of them. Because what are you going to do? You're going to see some random dude one-on-one by yourself, and he's like, I want to show you a trick. Like, no good is ever going to come from that. No one has ever been thrilled. Look, Penn Jillette could be sitting on the street and, like, I run into him and I would still be a little creeped out, even knowing who he is.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't, them and clowns, you don't want to run up one-on-one of them.
I still gotta go with the van. I mean, have you ever seen anyone abduct someone in a Hyundai accent? I rest my case. I'm anti-van. That van is driving.
I think that's more because
that van is driving in Idaho. Mitch, do we realize that I moved so close to Idaho? Have we never talked about this yet?
Oh, we have not talked about that. How much closer are you to Idaho than you were?
I'm so close now. I am like 3-4 hours away from Idaho at this point.
Oh,
I'm right there.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if that van's in Idaho, then also don't stop. So this movie was based on a short story from Joe Hill, which is the son of Stephen King. And this movie is basically did they find Derry, Maine in suburban Denver? Apparently they did. And so took the story. Scott Derrickson apparently had a interesting childhood growing up in Denver because this movie was based on his life somewhat. So that's something.
Horrible.
He said in an interview that he said in an interview that he left some stuff out from his real childhood because it was too dark. So those are words that were said by the person who directed and wrote this film.
Nate is looking forward to the commentary on here's where this kid just got.
If there's
got
a commentary
gutted.
Track on this Blu-ray, I am purchasing it for sure. So yeah, he was supposed to be the director of Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, which he had directed the first film, left over creative differences, then directed a far better film. So well done, Scott Derrickson. Good. That was a good career move. And yeah, I got some more stuff, but yeah, that's the movie. Obviously it was delayed a variety of times until it came out in June. And again, doing great. And last thing, I saw this one in the theater. And they changed the Blumhouse logo. Do you see that, Mitch?
Yes.
They didn't have the creepy turning chair in the room anymore. They had like a going through a house with different horror scenes in it. So
yeah,
this was the first movie
premiered
on. I wrote that on my phone and I was like, is that new? Looked it up. Yep, it is. So there you go. Black phone. All right, thoughts.
Yeah. So Ben, I want to ask you, I mean, I don't think we asked about it at the top of the show. How would you describe yourself in terms, you know, we're calling you a unsuspecting victim, but you know, what's your thought about horror movies in general? What do you tend to like, if you do like them at all? You know, where do you sit on them?
I don't know if purist is the right term, but I guess I don't know. I kind of like the more old school stuff that likely most people have seen. My dad would put on, you know, like Friday the 13th, Halloween at a very young age, probably far too young for us to have been even watching it. But, you know, those movies, those, you know, old slasher movies are kind of just ingrained in my memory.
Some of us are keeping that tradition up. Don't worry about it.
Absolutely love it. Like Halloween rolls around. That's what I want to watch. Not super big on jump scares personally. I just don't like that feeling. But watching people get diced up, I'm pretty good with. That said, bones breaking, absolutely cannot do that. Like Saw was my worst nightmare. I just can't do.
I don't know, man. If I couldn't watch the TV series Bones, I'd be pretty bummed about it.
Well, Jesus. I don't watch that for other reasons, but yeah.
A lot of people seem to like, no, I'm just kidding. Bones breaking, intro. Okay, so bones breaking and jump scares. So if there's a jump scare bone break, that's the worst of both worlds.
I'm walking out.
Don't watch The Sadness then.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Don't watch that movie.
Avoid
that.
Noted.
So noted. Yeah, so Ben. So having said that, Ben, I mean, where what did you think about this one?
I loved it, honestly. I like the balance of just like real life scary shit. Like, you know, like I said earlier, just the aspect of like child abduction is horrifying, right? For reasons other than why we typically go see horror movies. So that was great, if you want to call it great.
Feel good movie of the year. Gotcha.
Exactly. Yeah. Heartwarming.
It's about a shy kid who becomes closer with his sister and his friend protects him. That's
exactly.
It. Yeah. Did it.
Yeah. There you go. So I like that aspect of it. The supernatural elements weren't too overwhelming. Like it was, I don't want to say subtle, but it wasn't necessarily like the main theme, It was kind of complimentary to kind of what was going on. Obviously, it's what helped the kid escape, but it wasn't what it was entirely all about. And I don't know. I just thought it was really well done. The story was interesting to me. I think the acting was great, specifically the kids. The girl, what was her name? Madeline? I don't remember the the sister.
Yeah.
I thought she was fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, her character was great. She acted that very well, specifically the scene where her dad's beating the shit out of her, which was arguably for me the hardest part to watch in the whole the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it had been harder to watch her when she was Molly Blake in a 2014 episode of Bones.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Well,
That's her first credit. That's her first credit.
That's some quick Googling right there. Yeah.
Don't worry about it. I didn't know the time I had to worry about it. Anyway, you can't escape Bones. That's really the moral of the story. I'll jump in on that. I mean, the child acting in this is very good. We've seen, actually recently, Mitch, we've had seen a lot of good child acting in the movies that we've been doing. It's kind of impressive because we saw Gretel and Hansel, which you didn't like as a movie at all, but I think we all agree that the acting from the two leads was really good. And we saw Pan's Labyrinth, The Orphanage, Mama. These are all really good vehicles for creepy, but yet well acted child roles. It's like we're continuing the streak. Not with next week's Blade Trinity. That streak will end. But Chris Christopherson, you get some of that.
Yeah.
You get a Triple H. So there's that. But so that streak's ending. But yeah, I agree. The kids do a great job. And to be fair, why I was saying they're the main characters, and because they're on the screen a lot, never annoying. Pretty realistic in terms of their reactions. They're not too stupid. They're not too smart. Sometimes they either go one direction or this kid's a genius. They're doing stuff. This kid, it was very, very, very believable, which as a child abduction story, that's believable, adds a lot of tension and horror-ness to the whole thing. So that part was great.
She also has maybe one of the all-time greatest movie lines ever of her when she's doing her prayers and she goes, "Dear Jesus, what the fuck?" Which
is good.
I mean, good. So God, I mean, in this movie that really doesn't have a whole lot of laugh out loud, tension breaking moments.
Yeah.
What a great line. Just perfect.
I was going to go with that, but I thought it was too obvious for the quote in the beginning. Yeah. So I went with the mint arm, which was repeated so many times in this movie.
Yes.
So there's that.
Yeah. A lot of baseball. In this movie.
A lot of baseball, a lot of bullying. A lot of parental abuse.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
One of the most oblivious characters of all time, too.
Oh, the brother?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the... I did not care for that.
No,
I did not care for that at all. That's the downside for that's one of the main downsides for me is the brother character.
Yeah, I gotta say,
is another tie into It because he was in the It movies too. So even more.
I gotta say, I was barking up this tree a lot with Lisa trying to get her to go and really, really, but without telling her anything about it because I knew once she learned what was involved, there was no way. And sure enough, she asked me just to play this for her as her thoughts on this film.
Children in Peril, the movie. It's not a Lisa friendly.
No.
Typically not gravitating towards things like that either. But I think for this one, The violence against the kids, again, other than the girl getting her ass beat by her dad, it was implied, right? Obviously, the kids die, but they're not seeing just children get slaughtered, which I, of course, appreciated.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, you know, so I really had heard a lot of buzz about this from Fantastic Fest, and I think that's what really more piqued my interest. I tried not to watch too many trailers or anything about this one. You know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I know, Nate, you've pretty much sworn off of trailers at this point.
I have to watch them in the movie theater.
Yeah.
Other than that, never. Never again.
Yeah. This one really lived up to the hype, and it had gotten some pretty good reviews. I think more people were talking about the sadness just because of how graphic and violent that movie is, but this movie was being talked up, and I mean, I think, you know, we talked about this previously, but Sinister was such a solid film, and, you know, this very much tapped into the same kind of stuff that really, I think, made Sinister such a good horror movie. Yes. I mean, Ethan Hawke just crushing in this film. He plays such a good character. I think, you know, how they use those different masks. I mean, that's really so much of just the creepiness of this beyond just a kid being abducted is that whole mask. And I think the one thing I really enjoyed about this is that we don't get a lot of, you know, chewing scenery about why he's wearing the different masks. There's no background. There's no, like, some cop pulls up some, like, case from, like, oh yeah, this kid, you know, you don't get any of that. It's just, you can piece it together, you know, they give you enough to pretty much let you kind of figure out why he does what he does and the different masks, what they mean and all that kind of stuff. But I love that. I love that they didn't really spend the time to really lay out this whole, like, backstory of why he's doing it. I think that kind of sold it more in terms of the realism, but I think it made it creepier. It made you kind of focus on the more important parts. I gotta say though, Nate, we've talked about this before, the incompetence in this movie.
They transported the cops and the parents from it like, into this movie. It's like, oh, I guess a kid got kidnapped. I mean, well, what are you gonna do?
They went so quick to, we don't have any lead, we're looking for leads, to let's ask the kid psychic. Like, that's usually like the desperation ploy. And they do it in the first like 15 minutes of a kid being a
this
like,
we've got nothing. Suburb is like no people. They know there is, I think, there's a creepy black mask just driving around this town all the time. Multiple kids have been taken. No cop is just like, that's a creepy huge black van. What's going on?
Oh,
all the cars are like 79 foot long Buicks or whatever.
Sorry.
There's just one van. And they're like, nah, that's totally.
Yeah. Like, how big?
Got abracadabra on the side.
Well, how big is this town? Because, like, you've got to imagine, like, oh, kids are going missing. Let's ask. Oh, and there's black balloons. Well, let's ask the magician with the creepy ass top hat who has like the powdered face driving around in a van. Maybe he might know something. The sheer incompetence of the police in this movie.
Incompetence. Exactly. Yeah. Back with a vengeance in this one.
Oh, my God.
They suck.
Yeah.
They are bad. They're actively bad. Did not care for
And I will say, I think another thing that I think as I thought about it, the whole thing with their dad was weird, right? Like, he's abusive and he's kind of shown to be this like shithead and you know, really kind of shitty dad. And then like halfway through the movie, he's inexplicably trying to like not be so terrible. And, you know, he acts like he's really caring about the kids and all that. And I mean, I get they're trying to go for some nuance here, but it didn't really, for me, it didn't really land. It just felt like, all right.
Laying on too thick at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
Well, I mean, his wife, their mom, obviously killed herself and had the worst version of the shinin, I guess, than the daughter did. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe she wasn't praying enough. No clue what was going on there, but clearly did a lot of bad things to a lot of people that he saw and then, you know, killed herself. So I can get why he's messed up. I don't know why.
I get him drinking and being like
extension cords and stuff. That's not great.
Yeah.
I didn't like the character to begin with, but then I realized it's the same actor that played Private Upham from Saving Private Ryan, who just let Adam Goldberg's character just get stabbed to death. I hated him even more.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's actually the same person.
I remember him as Dr. Faraday.
That's the same person 25 years later in that town. He had
that
kids.
That adds up.
Didn't go well. That did not go well.
Yeah, I just remember as Faraday from Lost. So that was that had a slightly different reaction, I think, to him as a kid. Like, what is this guy being like? I don't buy him being this much of a dick. What were you about to say, Nate? Sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say some of the best matching of song lyrics to things of all time. Edgar Winter Group, Free Red. The mountain is high, valley is lower in Denver. You're confused about which way to go. So I flew in to give you a hand and lead you into the promised land. Come on and take a free ride. I mean, come on. That's incredible stuff there. Linking, you know, a song to the movie. Mm-hmm. The music in this one, you got, Edgar Winter Group, Free Ride. You got Fox in the Run by Sweet. And you got On the Run, Pink Floyd. So,
yeah,
pretty good stuff. They were used very well in the movie as well. And again, lyrics nailing it. Solid overall work with like a, you know, there's four songs on the soundtrack. Nailed all of those. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. What do we think about the cops? Terrible. Parents barely better. If not worse, I'm confused on that one.
Worse in different ways.
What do we think about some of these kids? So the premise is, and again, we're spoiling it because this is our podcast.
So wait, some of these dead kids?
What
do we think about these dead children?
Obviously, there's dead kids, okay? No. But the grabber is taking kids and clearly killing them, and they're all missing, right? So again, cops are doing nothing. Parents are basically worthless. Somehow kids are still walking home alone from school. After like 30 kids are taken or whatever, it's like so many kids, they're still walking home from school. Incredible. And then the main character, gets grabbed, right?
Yeah.
Phone rings, supernatural stuff's going on. He clearly inherited some supernaturalness from the mom also, not as obviously as the sister. And the people who are murdered, calling him up, letting him know like ways that he could potentially get out, right?
Yeah, it sort of became like Escape Room, the movie, right?
It was, and that's what I was gonna say. Like,
here's the combination. So did you find
out of these? Yeah, out of these kids, which one of them are you? So let me rephrase that. Out of all the dead kids, which one is you in your escape room advice? That was the real question I wanted to ask
you. Oh man, I mean, I guess the one with the combo lock, but
you're the combo lock kid.
I don't even know how to answer that. What does that mean? I'm the kid that just had the combo lock and wrote the combination down somewhere. I guess I don't know. I don't know how to answer that.
I'm definitely the refrigerator kid.
Okay,
that's me. I'd be going through the walls. One kid was digging, one kid was going through the walls, one kid tried to get up to the window, one tried to get out the padlocked door, right? There's and one tried to fight, right?
Yeah. I'd probably do the fighting, but yeah, I'd probably get my ass kicked.
Realistically,
murdered very quick.
Yeah. Everyone wants to say that, you know, like, oh, I could be the fighter, you know.
I said I would try to be. I didn't say I would be the fighter.
But let's be honest. That kid is a freaking badass. Robin in the movie. That kid's a freaking badass.
Yeah.
Kid's already tougher and cooler than me, basically.
He's unfortunately going to get getting overshadowed by Eddie and Stranger Things, but like almost same character.
Badass. Yeah. But yeah, anyway. So yeah, so you're the combo lock. Ben, who are you? In this scenario.
I can't remember which one found the cord underneath. That'd probably be me, just like sitting there overthinking things and just kind of finding some random ass cord that's going to be helpful underneath the wall somehow. Stumbling across something I wasn't trying to find.
He died like he lived, running cords throughout his house.
Exactly.
As you
all too familiar.
Yeah, Nate, I would have assumed you were more the digging down, really going a sub basement level, which I mean for our team, attic team basement, again, another contender for why basements are terrible.
This is a straight up basement. This is a straight up basement. It's made into a prison, but it started as a basement. So
yes,
I mean, undeniable, bad basement in this one.
Yeah, I rest my case.
Yeah. Are you saying? Yeah. The digging sucks. I don't know. Breaking a wall seems so much easier to me.
Yeah, fair. Yeah,
but then you get into a closed refrigerator.
Other thing I want to talk about with this movie. So, I mean, there were a lot of what I didn't expect were some pretty good like twists. And I think one that maybe I'm more audibly I was like gasp, right? Was when the cops are doing they're searching and they run across this dude who's like, he's like trying to like true crime podcast it, right? Like he's got his own like board and he's got like shit all laid out. Like he's trying to solve it. Of course, he's also bumping cocaine. And then you find out like it's the grabber's like brother. Like he's in the house, right? Like just underneath him is the kids. That was one of those twists that I was like, oh shit, that is. Wow. Like I was really blown away by that. And I think the other one was about the two houses, like they own the houses across.
That was great. Oh, yeah. That was great.
Both of those were just such good reveals.
Very good. Well, and what was cool that I thought too, now that I'm thinking about it, is the supernatural component. The ghosts weren't helping him as much as they were trying to like be put to rest. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Like when he showed the house, it was the house they were buried and not where he was when it showed the dreams to his sister.
Yeah.
And like when they were helping him, it was more like, I'm helping you to help me too. That actually was kind of
can't blame him, honestly.
Nice. Yeah. It was nice. Like that is like the motivation, except for his good friend, but the motivation for all the other ghosts was like, help me. Like I'll help you to help me. I'm a reverse Jerry Maguire or whatever we're talking about here. And that is the way it was set up.
Right.
I thought that was nice. I've never quite seen it done like that, where the motivation was like a, you know, like Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind. Like I help you to help ourselves inside of the group or whatever. Mm. Like what is going on here? It was awesome. I like that.
Yeah. How unsettling was, I guess, their depiction of whatever state those, you know, dead kids were in, right?
Like not good.
They're on the phone and like they remember like bits and pieces, right?
Well, they can only relive what happened to them.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Based on the end, the end dream of the sister.
Yeah.
And he heard the phone call that was it's like reliving it over and over because that's almost like the worst thing ever.
I like how they depicted the kids too. Like they're in the room with him, but then it sounds, you know, they're clearly talking, their mouths are moving, but it sounds like it's coming through the phone.
Yeah.
Loved it.
That's a Sinister-y move also. Mm. Too. You should go watch Sinister.
Yeah, Sinister's.
I might have to.
Yeah, Sinister's very solid.
Very good. Very.
Quite a bit different than this movie, but very good. Very good. The ghosts again. It's a Joe Hill, Stephen King sort of, style of horror. So I think at times the supernatural, they lean on it a little bit too heavily. Again, it becomes like a supernatural scavenger hunt to some degree.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, one of the things that, again, that I think I really want to talk through, though, I mean, I think the final escape is great, but just Ethan Hawke playing those multiple characters with the different masks, right?
Yeah.
Where he's got like the happy, like I'm trying to be your friend mask with the big smiley face. He's got the angry dad, like the punishment, like where he's just sitting there with no shirt on, wearing this mask, holding a belt, just ready.
It kind of reminded me of James McAvoy in Split a little bit.
A little bit, right? Yeah.
Obviously way less,
a little total more nuanced
amount. But like it had a little bit of that vibe, and then like the beast was coming, but kind of a setup, very similar.
Yeah, and that whole like he can't move forward unless you need discipline.
What was the game called? The Bad Boy game, or I can't remember what they called it.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember too. It's
because we're bad boys for life. We ain't going nowhere.
Oh my god.
Stay in the basement. Done. Did it.
Yeah.
Would he have kept feeding him the whole time if he never left? Like, how would that have worked? That would have been incredible. It's like, all right, it's been 3 years.
Well, do y'all buy that he might have ended up releasing him? Because he kept saying it. And there was a couple times where, think so? Yeah.
I mean, to me, like, the whole point in the how he gets off is by the kids breaking the rules, right? Like, what's the point if they're not going to do that? Yeah. But that said, I mean, he's going to fucking get caught if he does that. So maybe he was just lying. I don't know.
Yeah.
To an extent, I could see it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, the motivations are good because they're very. I mean, this brother is the dumbest person I've ever seen in my entire life. So that was hard.
Oh, man. That one, the one scene where he escapes the first time and he gets like tackled down and like. You know, so where they're close. Like, he's so close. You're just watching. Oh, man. This movie's got these scenes. Like, yeah, it has a few jump scares, and those parts are fine. Like, you know, you kind of can. I wouldn't say they're super telegraphed. They were well done for jump scares, but, you know, they're jump scares, right?
That scene where he gets captured again is like a almost direct throwback to Halloween.
Yeah.
When she's yelling and then like the light comes on and she like freaks out and they turn the light off and she has to keep going to the next house.
Yeah.
While Michael Myers is chasing her. I'm almost positive that was on purpose.
For sure.
A direct callback. Yeah. That was great. That was great. Yeah. Too.
But I think those scenes, those are where the movie really shines to me. Cause that's when it's at its scariest. Right. And I think, it's the parts where you really kind of think on it a little bit and you're like, oh, like that, what y'all just said about the afterlife right now is for those kids. That is probably the most terrifying thing about this movie. More so than just like the jump scares and even like the direct like violence. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
God,
it's pretty good. You're talking me up. You're talking me up on my end score here.
Yeah.
As we go along now, I will say this is a very summer stab thing. The end move where he puts the entirety of all the things the ghosts have told him together, uses it, everything to his advantage. You got a lot of time to think about it, to be honest. And then gets Ethan Hawke, uses some fridge steaks to get the dog out. Creepy dog. Mm-hmm. As all dog survived. You know, so there's that.
Thank God.
So there's that. But no, and then he does the whole Rube Goldberg escape room setup of everything. It's just like almost a straight up wrestling move where he breaks Ethan Hawke's neck.
Oh yeah.
Like what wrestling move was that closest to, Mitch? I don't know wrestling moves, obviously. So,
oh man, there
is that like actually, an RKO or something?
There is actually
what was it? That's all I know.
It's sort of kind of it's one Sasha Banks, who is Snoop Dogg's cousin, used to be called the Banks statement.
That was a sentence that you said. Yeah. Okay.
If you look up like the Banks statement finisher, that's kind of similar, but it's kind of like this like weird like cross choke hold sort of thing where you're pulling their neck back and all that. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's probably the closest. If I can find a picture here, I will send
it. I typed in Banks statement in Google
you got a balance sheet.
There's a lot of
Banks
with WWE. Bouncers on.
That is probably Jesus.
It's basically a wrestling finishing move that the guy did to avenge his friend and snap the dude's neck. Then he distracts the dog, gets out. The cops are right next to him across the street. They just can't do it. They can't have any sort of ability whatsoever. It's just impossible.
Well, they're following a 13-year-old.
She was not even that. She wasn't even that old. it was just. It was just not great. So, she's 11 years or she's like 14. Oh, yeah, maybe.
And they all got a promotion.
Yeah, she's
after
like 12-ish.
After that case,
job well done, boys.
They probably did. Yeah, he was across the street and they run in. I guess they got him a blanket. Was that the best thing they did? Yeah. Like they got him a blanket after the fact. I don't even know. Not great. Not great. Like killing the dude after he killed his own brother. The brother found out. Yeah, that was kind of a sucky twist. Everything with the brother could have been gone. I think. The brother wasn't there.
I like the first part.
I think
the
it
brother,
would have changed nothing.
Well, I like the thing of the brother like being close and not realizing it. Beyond that, yeah, no, I agree. After that, the brother. His purpose was really that, like, oh, well, if this guy would just pay attention, he might fight. And to a point, he does, but yeah, it doesn't. It's okay. I think the best part about it was that police interview. After that, yeah, he could have left and gone somewhere else now.
Mm-hmm. We went through all of it. Any last thoughts? I think we talked through.
I think
this is one of the more insightful commentaries we've done recently. That's,
yeah. Well, look,
Ben, look, Ben's bringing out the best and best in everybody here. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best.
Did we? We already did an episode on Sinister. Boo. All right, we'll have to figure out.
But we haven't done any seasons of Bones though yet. So I mean,
we we're gonna start our new.
I
Bones
will never
podcast.
Be on this again.
That's fine. That'll be on our new Bones podcast. You know.
Them Bones
podcast. All right. Well, I think the last question to ask is, what's your final cut?
Final cut.
You know what? Ben, you've been knocking out of the part. I think I'm going to ask you do it. So the way this works, Ben, is you will give a ranking out of 10 points, and we do whatever scale. So it could be anything. Like, you could say it's like, you know, 10 out of 10 child black balloons at the crime scene. It could be whatever score you want, right? Mm-hmm. What would you rate this movie?
I'd give it 8 oblivious cops out of 10.
Nice. That's good.
Okay. Okay. Why it's not higher for me, and this is just a nitpick, and I mentioned this to you, I think, Mitch, in the theater, specifically for horror movies, for me to be like fully immersed, it almost needs to be a cast of like no names, specifically like the main antagonist. And while I absolutely love Ethan Hawke, for me personally, it's kind of hard to like completely be involved in the movie because I've seen him in so many other things. And again, more recently, you know, like Moon Knight and other things like that kind of took me out of it. But man, it was a fantastic movie.
Sure.
I mean, I loved it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting take. I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say like, I just want all no names in my horror movies. That's optimal for you?
I think specifically for like the antagonist role, right? Like the main, I guess, bad or scary person in it. I don't know if I've seen someone in too many other things, it just kind of takes something away from me. But if it's just like some random person, then yeah, it's like, oh man, this person's scary as shit. Never seen them before. Totally believable.
Yeah.
But he did a great job, I thought.
I sometimes agree with you. I will say, I think the mass really helped to sort of hide that quite a bit. I mean, I know it's Ethan Hawke, but you know, he's so hidden for most of the movie that it's easy for me to not realize that it's Ethan Hawke, I think, in this movie. But I totally get what you mean. I would say, I think I'm at about, I'm going to go with 7 out of 10 magic Ooh. Tricks. I like this film a lot. I do. I mean, the cops are so frustrating, and I think there's a little bit too much of the Goonies-esque, like, all right, I left the bat here, and now you do this. Like, everything's so conveniently left over for, like, the next kid. Like, it was always going to take this number of kids. It's very nice of all the kids to leave, a trail of breadcrumbs for this one kid to get out. I appreciate your sacrifice. To a point, that was fine. But, yeah, that's probably – I mean, there was a lot that worked with this. The kids – all the acting was great, obviously. Ethan Hawke, just a monster. And that mask, I mean, look, the star of this movie is that mask. That mask could carry so much on its own. And then you add like good acting and a good story. I mean,
there were multiple masks. Like,
yeah,
face,
it was modular.
Like it was like doing like costume changes, like hosting the Oscars or something. It was like a lot of different, like, kind of like changing for the mood. It's good.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna go 7 out of 10. Nate, where I'm curious if we've talked you up where you're at and where you started versus where you at, if that changed.
So you just mentioned breadcrumbs. I just want you to know that's a Hansel and Gretel reference. So I'm wearing you down is what
absolutely
is what
not.
I'm
that is the worst movie ever seen. Down. Go ahead.
It doesn't matter. It's in your brain though, and that's the real victory. Yeah. That being said, this movie's good. I was struggling on what to give it. I'd say brother did not care for cops, parents, all worthless. Very Stephen King-esque, you know, like the kids are all, again, in It, kids are getting ganked all the time. No one seems to care. It was similar to that. A little bit of a cop-out, to be honest. Like, they show one parent, basically, like the whole movie.
Yeah.
There's like a jillion kids. They show briefly some other people like, oh yeah, we used to play with them. It's like, oh, whatever. I mean, the twist was good with the double house. Escape room stuff was pretty solid. Kid acting was close to the high end of the bar. Very good kid acting, especially Gwen, the sister. I mean, she is, look out for her for being the little kid in whatever blockbuster movie's coming out this year or next year, because yeah, she's crushing it. She's very good. That said, yeah, brother hated, cops hated, Ethan Hawke good, mask better. If it was just a sentient mask, it might have made the movie better. Like, if the mask was just floating saying words, it was also a ghost, that would have been pretty good. That being said, very, very solid film. I'll probably round down to a 7 out of 10 science class partners, because at the very end of the movie, he gets his confidence up that he can. He got his groove. Robin helped him from the grave to get his groove. Finally took him dying for him finally to get through to his friend, did it. And then he, you know, goes up to this girl that he clearly likes and she kind of likes him and they're going to be study partners. And he's like, sup. End of the movie. Great. Great ending.
You just had to kill a grown man to get to that point.
Sup. That's it. Nailed it.
I'm just going to say, I mean, he's got better friends, because I feel like my, like, y'all would not give me these good clues. If I was in this situation and y'all died before me, the clues that y'all would be if y'all gave me anything would not be helpful.
Just be screwing with you.
Yeah. Scott Derrickson is going to be so
250 jumping jacks in the, the answer.
Touch that live wire.
That's one way to get out. What do you mean? Scott Derrickson is doing a untitled labyrinth project. Labyrinth, famous for taking directions of things and turning them in the movie. Ben is just gonna like point an arrow like the wrong way, or like give you the wrong combination, like just write down the wrong one. It's like one number off each direction, and they're like, yep, go for it. No. That would be incredibly bad.
You gotta play Halo to get out of here, Mitch.
No, I'm doomed.
You have to have a positive KD in 3 Halo games in a row, or else you can't escape.
I'm dead. I'm just gonna go ahead and head upstairs and let him. Yeah, just speed this along. With that said, that's gonna wrap it up for this week's episode. Nate, where can they find us?
You can find us, as always, at TXPodMassacre on Twitter, Texas Podcast Massacre everywhere else. Send us an email, like Benji. And first of all, Benji, you know other people. If you want to smoke screen getting in another review, sign into someone else's iPhone or tablet. Give a 5-star review with their account.
I mean, ideally have this person actually listen to the podcast. I'm just going to
that's
just
also
throw that
good
out there.
I'm just saying the minimum requirement is steal someone's device and give us a 5-star review.
Sure.
If you do that, your movie will go on the schedule. I don't know if we have any left of requests. So Human Centipede, still not an official request. I'm still waiting for that official 5-star review to go in there. But yeah. So anyway, leave us an email, leave us a review, give us a call, 346-246-3143. And you can tell Mitch how you were the mystery person who recommended Gretel and Hansel. And Mitch will yell.
What mystery person? It was your mom.
Well, no, there was the other person who gave the review too.
Well, it was okay, my fair.
That's the plot twist. My mom also wrote the review. No. That is really how you got double got.
Or it was your sister. Oh yeah, that would have been tight. Yeah. That would have been a good reveal.
No, it's fine. No. Her favorite horror movie is Hostel. So totally different. No. Anyway, but yeah. So again, give us a call. Give us a review. Let us know what you think. Summer Stab continues. I already gave a sneak preview. Next week, Blade Trinity featuring Triple H, Jessica Biel, Ryan Reynolds, Chris Christopherson, and the rest. So there you go.
Get
excited.
Wait.
Do I own technically two copies of Blade Trinity on Blu-ray? Yes.
What do you mean technically? How is that a qualifier for that?
You know when you buy a cheap Blu-ray and then someone's like, oh yeah, Nate likes Blu-rays. He'd like this. It also got it as a gift, but kept both. That's me.
Who gave that as a gift? The Blade Trinity is not a gift you give someone you like.
No. It's all three Blade movies together on one Blu-ray. Even better. Even better. So you're welcome.
Bought it at a gas station.
Oh yeah. Oh,
that
my
could
God.
Have been. It could have been out of Bucky's. That seems somewhat like it. But anyway, yeah. So Blade Trinity next week.
Well, you have that to look forward to. Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Hope you enjoyed your inaugural trip to the virtual podcast studio.
I did. Yeah. Thank you all for having me.
Of course.
And we're now letting you out as promised.
Yep.
Thank you.
Just head up the stairs.
God, God. Mitch, do you have a belt effect? Like a belt sound effect like on the machine somewhere? Come on. Where is
I know,
that?
Belt, I know. The belt we'll drop. We'll get it for next time. I'll throw it on the post. From all of us here at Texas Podcast Massacre, thank you so much for tuning in. And just keep telling yourself, it's only a movie. Good night.